I first went to Luke, the 8th chapter, and the Lord took me to the story of as he ministered to his disciples on the storm. And I found that to be interesting because I went back to Luke, the 1st chapter, and I came forward, and there was enough information there for you to draw a conclusion that Jesus was no ordinary man. And as I read the story, a few things stuck out at me that I want to walk through with you. And what I found is that in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, that book is, I have to give you my word, is pregnant with wisdom. And I want to share some things with you this morning that I hope will be a blessing to your life, and that God will show you some things that he's not shown you before in this book. Now, for a title this morning, I use the title, Who's in Your Boat? Who's in your boat? Now, we can look at a boat that if we're on the water, that the boat is there to keep us afloat. In some ways, depending on the type of boat, it can give us some protection. The one thing I came to understand is that a boat either has a rudder that gives it direction, or how you row the boat will determine how you go. But to be a little more specific, as you turn in your Bibles to Luke, and then you go to the 8th chapter, I want to, this morning, point out for you some things that God has shown me here that I think will be a blessing to your life. First of all, for our reading, I want you to go to Luke, the 25th chapter. Excuse me, the 25th verse. We're in Luke, the 8th chapter, the 25th verse. And it reads as this in my NIV Bible. Jesus says to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" He asks them again, "Where is your faith?" In fear and amazement, they ask one another, "Who is this?" He commands even the winds and the water to obey him. Let's bow. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. I pray, Lord, in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would speak to these, your children, in a special way so that when they leave this worship experience, they will know that they have been in your presence. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would say what you want to say, how you want to say it. Lord, that you would be glorified, that your children would be edified, and that your word would go forth with power. This I ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, starting off, we know that this story found in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 22 through 27, is about a storm. And this storm takes place on the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is a lake, big lake, if you want to call it that, but the writer called it a sea, so we'll go with the sea, okay? It is 33 miles in this weird shape of an area. And because of the land on both sides of it, it causes strong winds to come through. And those winds are sometimes used, the term is used is that they are violent. So the gentleman that I was reading from said that the winds can sometime get up to 50 miles an hour in this little area. And that they have been known to turn over ships to kill and to destroy property because of their movement. So I thought about storms, and specifically storms that come in our lives. And the Lord led me back to the book of Job. And if you turn with me to Job, the first chapter, I was looking to see a storm that would, that comes into your life that would really be something. This morning, it was raining. I don't know how heavy it rained down here, but where I live at, it was for a while there, it was really coming down. And I said to myself, I'm glad I'm in the house. I said to myself, I'm glad I don't have any leaks in my roof and that I was protected from the power of the wind and the rain this morning. But that is one type of a storm. Another type of storm is those storms that come into our lives. In Job, in the first chapter, paraphrase, Satan goes to heaven. And the Lord asks him, what have you been doing? And Satan says, again, paraphrase, I've been going backwards and forth on the earth, raising hell. And without prompting him, God said, have you considered my servant Job? How would you feel if God had said your name instead? Now, it goes on that Satan says to the Lord, I can't touch him because you got a hedge of protection around him. And the Lord says, I'll remove my hedge of protection. The only thing you can't do is kill him. How would you feel about that? The Lord brings your name up. Then the Lord says, I'll take my hedge of protection from around him. I guess if you were involved in the conversation, you'd probably say, Lord, what are you doing? Volunteering me and then going to take your protection from around me. Now, that gives the devil just about free will in your life. Now, we come to this point where Job, let's go so we are looking at it clearly, go to verse 15. And it says that Job is put under attack in verse 15. Then it says in verse 16, is while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up your sheep, your servants, and I am the only one who escaped. Fire from burned your house down, and I'm the only one that escaped to come and tell you. Then go to verse 17, and while that guy was speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They came and took your dog. He was close to your heart. Matter of fact, you loved that dog. And they came and they took him. Now, as you read forward in this, and I just want you to look at one, go to verse 19. Then suddenly a mighty wind swept in from out of the desert, struck the four corners of the house, it columns on them that they are dead, and all of your family and all of your relatives were killed. Now, is that a storm? Is that a storm to come into your life where it starts with your crop and it works all the way up until your children are taken? Now, what did Job say? Verse 20. At this, Job got up, tore his clothes, his robe, shaved his head. Then he fell on the ground and worshiped. With all of this storm in his life, Job worshiped and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. My name, the name of the Lord is blessed. How many times have you gone through a storm, and the first thing you sought to do is worship God? How many times have you gone through a storm and you lose something and the first thing you want to do is worship God and thank him for giving it to you and bless his name that you don't have it anymore? That's just the first thought. I want you to let that run through your mind. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith that God, the sovereign God of this universe, faith that God, the creator of the world, faith that God is that is motivated by love, that whatever is going on in your life, God has allowed it for his glory and as a blessing to you. When we look in Luke, the 22nd chapter, 22nd verse, and I've got to slow myself down a little bit. Jesus is with his disciples. Now, I want you to understand in Luke that at this point in time, there were no Christians. There were disciples and those that went under the term by the way. So those that followed Jesus, those that were under his teaching, those that have started to change to live by his standards were disciples by his teachings. So now he has his 12 disciples with him. And they are being taught by Jesus. And everything that they're being taught is from God's perspective. They are going through experiences so that they can take what God has said and Jesus has said in parables, what they have experienced with God, and bring it into their own life. They understand that Jesus is a teacher. Some of them gave him greater position than being a teacher, but they still had a level of curiosity on who this man was. Now, it starts off in verse 22 of Luke, and we're going to stay right here for a while, that one day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." So they get in a boat on the lake, and they are taking a 33-mile journey across the water. As they got away from the shore and as they started sailing, Jesus took a nap. And a squall came up on the lake, so that the boat was being pushed back and forth. The boat was getting water upon it. And his disciples thought they were in great danger. Have you ever been in a storm? There are a lot of different kinds of storms, and they all affect us differently. I remember when we had the hurricane and it came through New Jersey along the shoreline, it was a hurricane, a storm, big storm. And that they were reporting on some of the people that were going through the hurricane. And I remember this one woman that she was crying as she was dealing with the storm. Have there been times in your life where you've been in a storm that has led you to tears? There have been storms that have allowed you to get angry because of what you're going through, because of the damage. And sometimes you get angry because of the fear of being in something. A storm can be like you're under attack because you don't understand why it's going on. You're uncertain about what's going to come out of the storm when it's over. Some of us have been in storms that have lasted one day. Some of us have been in storms that have lasted one week. And then some of us are in a storm, and that storm has been going on right now for months. And we are unsure of what's going to happen. Some of us will even call our storms suffering. Some of us will call our storms that we are going through hurt, and we don't understand why we're going through the level of hurt that we're going through, and that we're going through pain, and we don't understand the pain. And the pain even brings us to a point where we start to question what God is doing. Let me give you some smaller storms. There may be some of you sitting here that if you got to go to a doctor and you know going into the doctor's office that he's going to give you a needle, that can become a storm in your life. Why do I need the needle? Especially if you didn't know he was going to give you the needle and he pulls out one of those needles that long. And he says, "You need this." It can be an emotional storm going on in you Even, you know, and, you know, and because I took one of my grandsons to the doctor, and they told him, just turn the other way and go look. I don't know about you, but after I see the needle, I don't care how many ways I turn, I'm going to feel it. But just the point of taking the needle can be a storm in our lives. Some of us are in marriages and we're going through storms all the time because of the conflict that we have in our marriage. Some of us are single and we're going through conflict because we don't want to be single anymore. We want a relationship. We want to be married. And this because we don't really know what marriage is about. Some of us are going through strange struggles about and storms because we don't have a job. I was counseling a brother last week, and I said, listen, there's a job for you. What you need to do is look at it that God has given you a vacation, a time that you can get closer to him, a time that you can spend more time studying his word, because on the other side, there's a job for you. Some of us, because of these situations, won't pray when we're in a storm. Think about it. You had a prayer life before you went into the storm, but because of the storm and the uncertainties of the storm, you don't feel like praying. You feel isolated. You talk to someone, and because they don't feel your concerns, you feel that you're misunderstood. There's no peace in your life. You feel powerless. Your trust in God starts to wane. Now, you need to see your difficulties from God's point of view. And respond to your difficulties according to the word. You need to see those difficulties in your life from God's point of view. God is trying to do something in your life when he's taking you through a storm. He's not taking you through the storm because he's masochistic. He's taking you through the storm because there's something he wants to accomplish in your life. So you need to see the storm you're going through from his point of view, not yours. Because your point of view is, I don't want the storm. Now, what is God trying to do in your life in this storm? The first thing that the disciples says to Jesus is, wake up. They were talking to the human Jesus. Because the divine Jesus doesn't sleep. Write that one down, because you know that came from the Lord to me after a lot of study. The divine Jesus is not sleeping. He's on the boat, but he's not asleep. There's a process that he's trying to take you through, and he's just over there with his eyes closed. Now, these disciples, and again, you are a disciple, are now finding themselves without peace. And so in verse 24, they call upon the divine protector, the person that can be a refuge in the storm, the one that can give shelter, the one that can give protection, the one that can give sanctuary to them in the storm. Along with being the divine protector, he also has dominion over everything. He has rule. So the divine protector, the one that has dominion over everything, he stands, he doesn't even get up. He doesn't even get up. That reminds me of, no, I'm not going to go there because that's going to take too much time. So he doesn't get up. And no, the scripture says he did get up. Okay, so I'm going to give you. He got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. And the storm subsided and all was calm. If Jesus is on your boat and a storm comes, you have the divine protector to give you sanctuary. You have the one that has dominion over everything, rule over everything, and there's no need for you to fear. Your fear has no ground to it. God can deliver you to whatever you're going through. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, it says, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. In essence, what 1 Peter is saying is that when you're going through something, you're not going through it by yourself. And what you need to do is you need to cast whatever your fears are, whatever your concerns are, all of those negatives that you're going through when you're going through a storm, you need to take all of them and give them to God. Give them to God. Now, 4 o'clock this morning, the Lord said, you got to go to Philippians 4th chapter. That you have to rejoice when you're going through a storm. If you got Jesus in your boat, what are you worried about? It says rejoice, and then Paul turns around and he says rejoice again. And he says, whatever you're going through, whatever your needs are, let it be known unto God. And then because you know who's on your boat, you can say thank you. You can say thank you. Because he's on your boat, and you can be happy in the middle of a storm. I got to write that down because I'm come up with something on that a little later. Happy in the middle of a storm. Now, casting your cares upon him because he cares for you, then you go to verse 25 where we're going to camp for a second as we come bring this in, is that it says that the disciples were amazed and they had fear, or when you put it all together, they were astonished at what Jesus did. And because Jesus understood where they was, he said, where's your faith? I'm on the boat with you. I've already told you I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I've already told you that I love you with an everlasting love. That I am the sovereign God. I'm not just some rabbi. I'm not just someone that knows the word of God. I am the sovereign God. I take you back to John, the first chapter, and I tell you that I was in the beginning. I became flesh to seek and save you. Because your relationship with me, and I want you to understand, you must have a relationship with him, then that means that I'm going to be in every situation that you're in. Yes, I'm going to do some things amazing in your life because that's who I am. My grace is amazing. My mercy is amazing because I shower you with my grace, not based on what you have done, but based upon me and my love for you. Now, watch this. I want you to now go back to verse 12. Here we were talking about the seed. Verse 12, Luke 8. There are those of us that hear the word but don't believe it. Satan is at work in our lives because we don't believe what we hear. He goes on to say in verse number 13, there are those of us that are emotional believers. We have joy when we hear the word, but the word doesn't take root in our lives. When temptation comes, we give in to temptation. We believe that life has no stability to it because we're caught up in our emotions. In verse 14 is those people that hear the word, but the only thing they want out of the word is those things that are help their pleasure, their pleasure seekers. You know, like those that get caught up in prosperity gospel, that, you know, if I accept the Lord into my life, then I'm going to get a car, and I'm going to get two cars, and I'm going to get a dog, and I'm going to get a house with a picket fence. So that's my reason for accepting the Lord. They're caught, you know. Everybody is supposed to be rich if you're serving the Lord. But Jesus said the poor will always be with us. So that's we're contradicting each other. But those are the people that are worldly hearers. What they hear is those things that meet their worldly needs. They're into riches. They don't show any spiritual fruit in their lives. Where do you fit? These are all people that hear the word, but the word does not take root into their lives. And because the word does not take root in their lives, when they come into a storm, when there are problems in their lives, when the wind starts to blow and the waves start to come, when they come, they don't have anyone in their boat because their faith is not founded in Jesus Christ. But those of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those of us that have invited him into our lives, when we have a storm, we know that he's in the middle of that storm with us. We understand that along with that is that he is our strength as we go through that storm. That we are teachable even when we are in the storm, because your best lessons are taught to you in the storm. goes on and he says to us, because my word is in you and you have the ability to go through a storm because of me, let your light shine. Let your light shine when you're going through a storm, so that those that see you going through that storm will come to understand who's your anchor. Who's your anchor? We look at each other Sunday in, Sunday out. And some of us believe that as we go on this journey, that God is going to be there and he's going to fight every battle for me, and I don't have to do anything but just lay back and enjoy it. But God says to us that in his own ministry, in Luke the 8th chapter, because this is God giving us examples, that we will have storms in this life. And as those storms come, he is there with us, and all we have to do is call upon him in our time of storms. But we are supposed to call upon him rejoicing, because he's our Savior. Rejoicing because he has a plan for our lives. Rejoicing, knowing that no hurt, harm, or danger will come towards you. Rejoicing because he left heaven and came to this earth for one purpose, and that is to bring you back into relationship with him. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this chapter, that as we allow your word to be planted into our heart, to take root into our lives, that as we submit to your leadership, when we go through the storms of this life, when we go through those storms that you allow to come into our lives, that we have full assurance that you are in that storm with us. You're on the boat with us, Lord. And because you are on the boat with us, we have your divine protection. And nothing will befall us except that which you allow. We thank you, Lord, for your sovereignness, knowing that you are in control of everything that happens. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, that he would hang upon a cross for our sins, that he would come from heaven seeking to save those of us that were lost, those of us that knew we were lost, those of us that did not know we were lost, but he came running after us. Some of us he tackled, some of us he just grabbed by the neck. But Lord, we know it's because of him that we stand in the relationship we now have with you. Lord, I pray if there be someone here today that stands outside of a relationship with you, that have not given their lives to you, that are not saved, that before they leave this room, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, that you would speak to their mind, and that today, Lord, would become their new birth in you. Bless now our time together to your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.